Through many years of coming to church, both as a layperson and as a minister, I've observed that people usually come for a variety of reasons. But one recurring impulse that seems to be present among the faithful and those seeking faith in the pews on a Sunday morning is a desire to hear the Word of God, to be touched by the Holy Spirit, to experience the divine, to be swept up in something great, to be enlivened and empowered, to be enthused, to be excited, to forge a connection, to be part of a community. So with all of this in mind, I'd like to share some statistics. In 2012, there were 5.22 million Native Americans or Native Alaskans, comprising 1.7% of a U.S. population of 313.9 million people. The median age of this community was 31, as opposed to the national median age of 37. In 2010, there were 566 federally recognized Indian tribes. The largest amongst these, according to the CDC, the Cherokees with 819,000 members, the Navajos, 332,000, Choctaws, 196,000, Mexican American Indians, 175,000, Chippewas, 171,000, Sioux, 170,000, Apache, 112,000, and the Blackfeet, 105,000. Are you all excited now? Enthused? Moved? Are you feeling God's presence and grace? Oh, come on. This is exciting stuff. And it is exciting stuff. Because these numbers talk about people in their richness and the diversity, in their various manifestations of an ancient culture. Let me offer another statistic for you. One was the number of Native Americans who came into the Christian church during the first evangelistic effort. One. A man by the name of Hayakomus. He had heard the gospel from Thomas Mayhew on Martha's Vineyard in 1649. That's the first recorded instance of a Native American joining the Christian church. Now, I'm going to climb out on a limb here and suggest that most people in this sanctuary today were not familiar with this name. But we should be. He's a Congregationalist. He's one of us. And I stress the us. Because all too often throughout our nation's history, the Native American peoples have been seen as them. But from the very start of our story, Native Americans were us. And especially when we look at the story from our perspective as Christians. Our history together has been complicated and understated, to be sure. And there have been different impulses at work. There are times when people have sought to work together and to learn from one another and to understand each other. And then there are the darker moments of hostility and betrayal. The stories we tell, the stories we remember, the stories we share about the past inform the way we live in the present. I know that as a boy, my experience to the Native American tradition was fairly limited. I knew that there were a bunch of towns around the community where I grew up that had Native American origins for their names. I was always very fond of Pohokus, Ramapo, Paramus, but they were just names. My experience of Native American culture through TV, I have to confess, primarily came through F-Troop. Not exactly a deep and rich exploration of a tradition. Although if I do remember correctly, the Indians there usually wound up pulling a fast one over the army guys. That's good. They should win. Here at Dartmouth, people can go see the Hovey murals. Not exactly a fair or positive representation of the local people. We can choose to learn more, to know more, to dig deeper, to understand a people. We can understand what it means for us to be Christians together. According to the government, in 2010, there were 324 federally recognized American Indian reservations. The largest was the Navajo Nation Reservation, with 169,321 people. That's about a third of the population of the state of New Hampshire. The Pine Ridge Reservation has 16,900 people. Fort Apache, 13,000 people. These are large communities. But it's not as if these people and their ancestors all raised their hands and said, "We want to go live on reservations. We want the least attractive land. We want diminished educational opportunities, employment opportunities." This is part of our story. The CDC tells us that of the different populations in the United States, our Native American brothers and sisters have the highest rates of drug-induced death, of smoking, and of incidents of binge drinking. These things do not happen in isolation. They happen in a context that we all help maintain. I'm not going to stand here and blame anybody in this room for what happened 200 years ago, 300 years ago, but I can sure ask each and every one of us, including myself, to ask how we might be complicit today in the maintenance of dysfunction in these communities. We're Americans. We get to vote. We get to lobby our representatives. We get to choose where we invest our time and our energy and our effort. These are our brothers and sisters. Whether they are Cherokee or Penobscot or Mi'kmaq or Ojibwa, our brothers and sisters. As I was thinking about today's message, I wondered what scripture passage we would use to focus our time together. So I visited a variety of websites, I read different books, and I came across two one verse citations on the website of the UCC's Council on American Indian Ministers. And you heard those verses this morning from Isaiah, lift up on wings of eagles. In Romans, neither principalities, blah, 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 blah. That's how we often hear these words. They've been said to us so often, they lose their power. But I spent some time with those texts, and it was clear to me why they were chosen. These are passages of endurance and perseverance, of continuity, of strength. The Native American tradition within the church and beyond is alive. We've seen that this morning. The music was alive. And Susan and Elizabeth read our children a book that wasn't published 100-some-odd years ago. That is a new book. I was reminded of this earlier this year when I was down in New York. I went to an exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art about the art and culture of the Plains Indians. The exhibit was huge, with artifacts dating back hundreds of years, which one would expect, but coming right through to the present. And it was wonderful to see the galleries packed. People wanted to know more, learn more, experience this rich living tradition. This is a tradition that endures and persists. And I think back to Hayakunas, who heard a word, and whose spiritual descendants continue to hear that word. And God bless them, did not confuse the word of God, the love of Jesus, with the awful acts of those who claim to be his followers. Today, as we reflect on the Native American tradition within the church, within our country, we can ask ourselves, what more might we do? Well, we can read, we can study, familiarize ourselves with the issues. Perhaps as a congregation, we could consider doing mission work. Not because we're going to go save somebody or help somebody, but because we can form some new relationships, make some new friends, be together in Christ's community. My hope and prayer is that today isn't just a one-off event for us. Something where we can check off the liturgical box and say, we did that, let's move on. But perhaps the opportunity for us to begin exploring new ways of being a community, new ways of forming relationships. If we do these things, we'll not only honor a tradition, but maybe we will find some of what it is we are looking for when we come to church. That excitement, that enthusiasm, that sense of possibility. An opportunity to live out those words of Paul about there being neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free nor male nor female, but one community of Christ. Statistics can be boring, and they can be dull, but they can also be an entryway into something far greater than ourselves. For is it not another number that stands at the center of our faith? Three? persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Modeling relationship and community and mutual love. I don't know about you, but I'm excited.